It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day.
You're tuned to The Beacon, KSJE 90.9 FM. I'm Nick Michael, and I'm sitting here with
Ashley Londy.
And you are listening to A Review Too Far, where we watch movies and review them for your listening pleasure. This week, we have the documentary on Fred Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And after that, we have out in theaters now, Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong in First Man. But let's get things started with Won't You Be My Neighbor? It is a documentary that covers the length and breadth of Fred Rogers' career as the children's entertainer on first a small public broadcasting station and then the national broadcasting station and beyond into his legacy as he remains a hallowed figure in the halls of public television.
We had a director that once said to me, if you take all of the elements that make good television and do the exact opposite, you have Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Low production values, simple set, unlikely star. Yet, it worked. Because he was saying something really important.
Love is at the root of everything. All learning, all parenting, all relationships. Love or the lack of it. And what we see and hear on the screen is part of who we become.
Won't You Be My Neighbor was directed by Morgan Neville. And of course features archival footage of the man himself, but also testimonials by Joanne Rogers, John and Jim Rogers, Bill Eisler, Hedda Sharpin, Jun Lei Lee, Max King, Margaret Whitmer, Tom Janod, Joe Negri, Yo-Yo Ma, Susan Stamberg, Desi Garcia, Francois Clemens, and other archival footage that includes Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Johnny Costa, Ralph Ellison, Al Gore, Lori Hollander, Lyndon Johnson, Bobby Kennedy, and more. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Won't You Be My Neighbor?
This film didn't get national release, it seems. There were some theaters that had it and some that didn't when it came out initially, but now it has made its way to DVD, so you can find it if you would like to watch it. Won't You Be My Neighbor is so charming. It's utterly wonderful. This film captures so much about Fred Rogers and his philosophies and the way that he was as a human being. And it makes it about the show, too, about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. But I like that the film talks about Won't You Be My Neighbor? It isn't necessarily, it doesn't say the Fred Rogers story. It doesn't say Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It's the Won't You Be My Neighbor? And the title is meaningful because the title is how Fred Rogers seems to have lived his life by inviting people in, inviting people to connect with him, especially children, inviting them to be a part of his world and showing children especially that what they have to say and what they think is valuable. I thought that this film did a great job of balancing heart-wrenching and hopeful and funny and ridiculous stories. It really did a great job of combining all of those things to give you this picture about who Fred Rogers was. I think that there are a lot of people that think that Fred Rogers must have had something to hide or that he couldn't possibly have been as warm and truly good of a person as he was. But all this film served to do for me was reinforce that the Mr. Rogers I watched on the television with King Friday the 13th and Daniel Tiger, he's the same person on television as he was off television. Much like Atticus Finch was described as being the same person in and out of his house, Fred Rogers was the same person on and off television. Truly a wonderful human being. And this documentary just shows you that there's no big secret. There's no big controversy. He wasn't a Navy SEAL. He wasn't covered in tattoos. He was absolutely and completely full of love and wanting to give good messages to children. It's so wholesome that it's almost not believable at points. You think, surely this guy must have had something wrong with him. He must have had a moment where he was mad or a moment where he was frustrated, and you just don't really see that. He was a really good person. I like the perspective of his family, his wife especially, and her stories that she had about them. I also really liked the perspective that Francois Clemens brought to this. Francois was a character on the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood show, and his story and his journey with Fred Rogers, it was so humanizing and made me realize that Mr. Rogers was a truly wonderful person, but that he was a growing, changing, evolving human being like the rest of us. This documentary might be perfect. This is my favorite movie that I've seen this year, and I'm going to recommend it wholeheartedly. If you don't know who Fred Rogers is, that's a travesty. You should watch this, and if you know who he is, you should learn more about him.
Well, Ashley, I will definitely agree with you that this was a very powerful documentary and an emotional one for me as well. I enjoyed it from start to finish, and I want to point out that you make good points about Francois Clemens and the relationship that he and Fred Rogers developed over the course of the run of the show, because I think that showed a bit of Fred's imperfections, too. He wasn't quite as accepting of Francois's homosexuality, at least publicly, because of sponsor worries at the time. And this was in the 70s and 80s, so to be accepting of the homosexual lifestyle wasn't quite as easy as it is today. And, you know, we still have strides to make, I think, in regards to that. So I too liked the journey that they both went on and how Fred softened over the years. I also want to talk about some of the, not the myths, but the truths of Fred that this documentary gave to me. I did not know that he was an ordained minister, and that's never really came up in the show. And I think that is a tremendous thing for him to do, for him not to do, I guess. Not to obviously proselytize and just to be a humanist, really, overall, and not worry about inserting religion. I also loved that this introduced me to his roots in early childhood psychology, that he worked with researchers and developed a method to work with children and to observe them and find out their actual needs as opposed to just theoretical needs. This film does touch upon the Senate hearings that happened in, I believe it was the late 70s or mid to late 70s. I've seen that archival footage before, but I loved seeing it here because to watch a jaded senator kind of melt just from Rogers reciting, and not even singing it, but reciting the lyrics of a song that he composed for the show about children and the love that they deserve, it melts your heart, and I loved it. There are some tough topics that I did not realize that Fred took on, such as the assassination of Bobby Kennedy and 9/11. I had stopped watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood well before 9/11, so I did not know that he came back to television to try and help children process this, so kudos there. And I just think this is a great documentary. Ashley is right, we did not see this in major theaters, but we were lucky enough to see it courtesy of Farmington Cinematheque, the local art house program that is brought to you and us by San Juan College. So shout out to Farmington Cinematheque. Thank you for bringing that film for us. And if you want to see it, I think it's also available at the San Juan College Library for checkout. Won't You Be My Neighbor was a very interesting and emotive documentary. And on that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
One other thing that I think is worth mentioning is there was ever a controversy about the legacy from Mr. Rogers. It's with this idea that Mr. Rogers created this special snowflake idea that some people say that there are young adults and teenagers now who believe that they're special and that it's Mr. Rogers' fault. They blow that out of the water. And one of the most brilliant things, like Nick was saying, was Mr. Rogers was telling everyone that they have inherent good in them because they're endowed with it by their creator. It's one of the fundamental tenets of Christianity. And he told kids that they were good and wonderful just because of who they were. This is 5 stars. I think this movie's perfect.
I agree that this documentary is very, very strong. It's informative, emotive, paced well, and great subject matter. I too will give it a 5 out of 5 and say, go see it now if you can. And that will bring us to our cinema release of the week, and it is Ryan Gosling portraying Neil Armstrong during the space race in First Man.
I don't know what space exploration will uncover, but I don't think it'll be exploration just for the sake of exploration. I think it'll be more the fact that it allows us to see things that maybe we should have seen a long time ago, but just haven't been able to until now.
Does anyone have anything else?
Yeah. Neil, I was sorry to hear about your daughter.
I'm sorry, is there a question?
What I mean is, do you think it will have an effect?
I think it would be unreasonable to assume that it wouldn't have some effect.
First Man was based on the book by James Hansen, written for the screen by Josh Singer, and directed by Damien Chazelle, and stars, of course, Ryan Gosling, but also there are Claire Foy, Jason Clarke, Kyle Chandler, Corey Stahl, Patrick Fugit, Christopher Abbott, Kieran Hines, Olivia Hamilton, Pablo Schreiber, and Shea Whigham, with small roles for Lucas Haas, Ethan Embry, Brian D'Arcy James, and Corey Michael Smith. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of First Man?
Seems like every 10 or 15 years or so, we get a really great space movie. The Right Stuff, Apollo 13, and now First Man. This is a truly great space movie. I like what we learn about the Apollo missions in this, and I like what we learn about space flight. What I love about this film is that so much of the space flight is extremely uncomfortable to watch. It's shaky. It's, you know, moving around. It seems uncomfortable. It looks painful. So much of it. And we don't really see a lot of that in other space movies. We see mostly, especially with like Apollo 13, them in space and sort of floating slowly around. And you don't see a ton of the violence. There are some scenes where, especially when they take off, when they re-enter. Yeah, but this film really captures the violence. This movie really captures the violence of space travel and how it isn't an easy thing to do. It isn't easy to go through physically. That's basically what I liked about the movie. I liked the space travel. I liked the problem solving. I liked them having to go through the testing and things like that. Unfortunately, it seems as though every other shot of this film is a close-up of Ryan Gosling's face. And it really makes it difficult to appreciate anything else going around because this film is fundamentally about Neil Armstrong. It is not about Apollo 11. It is not about the space race. It is not about going to the moon. It is about Neil Armstrong. So if we're going to look at it as not being a space movie, but instead sort of a biopic, I don't know that this is a great movie. I think that this film has real struggles. Claire Foy's American accent, I've heard it before and it was better than it was here. I don't know what happened, but I thought her American accent was a little grating. I loved her in her role. I thought she was very strong, but her voice kept distracting me throughout the film. The movie tries to be about something very complex and simple at the same time. It tries to be about a person, and it tries to be about Neil Armstrong and his struggles and everything else. But unfortunately, there's just not a lot of exposition of that. There are conversations that take place asking about, does Neil talk to you about this? No. Does he talk to you about this? No. And then that's pretty much it. We don't get a ton of development from Neil Armstrong as a person in this film. Ryan Gosling doesn't show us change. We just see surly silence close up and silence close up and one or two quips close up. We don't get a lot of real change on the screen. We don't see very many emotions. And for a 2.5 hour movie, it's just not there. This film is slow, and I like the way that they change between what's happening on the ground and what's happening in space. I like those back and forths, but it's just not really that great. I liked parts of this film, but overall, I'm going to say if you are a fan of space movies, you'll probably enjoy this. You'll have a good time. If you're a fan of biopics, I don't know that this is going to be a winner for you. If you're interested in seeing this film, you'll probably enjoy it. I'm not going to say don't see it, but it's not a super strong recommendation from me. I think there are better things to watch right now.
The opening shot that we have of Ryan Gosling, of Neil Armstrong, is when he's buttoned up in the X-15 and is thrown about super violently as it goes hypersonic in early testing. And we watch him go through the entire flight, which I think takes a good 8 or 9 minutes of screen time. And as Ashley mentioned about the other space scenes and testing scenes, it's violent and jarring and uncomfortable. It's not that it's hard to watch. In terms of cinematography, it's really easy to watch. It's just you're feeling the jolts along with him, thanks to the tremendous cinematography that was done and the sound work. The sound work in this movie is amazing. We're cutting between violent screams of atmosphere that are just so unsettling and complete silence when they get to space. And I think whoever did the sound work for this deserves an Oscar, because in terms of bringing an experience to the screen, I think First Man, head over feet, exceeds what has been done in the past. And I include other really good space movies like Apollo 13 and The Right Stuff. I think in terms of just realism about the space race, this is the cream of the crop. It's surpassed everything else. And I agree with Ashley that it talks about the violence of space travel. There is an inherent hostility to human life in space that we kind of sweep under the rug and hand wave away, to mix metaphors, because we like the idea of easy space travel. We like Star Trek and Star Wars, where we're jolting through hyperspace, and the things that kill us out there are each other, not the fact that a micrometeorite could puncture the skin of our spaceship and make us all explosively decompress. It is really tough to get to space, and I think First Man does a great job of explaining the tremendous technological improvements that we had to make as a country, as a nation, as a society, in order to get there. I also like how First Man talks about the toll on the wives, and it spends a lot of time with Claire Foy and the psychological distress that she goes through having an astronaut husband, and the strain it puts on their family, their children, and the fact that they lost a daughter. That comes up very early in the film, and it's tough to watch, but I think it's very powerful filmmaking. I think the main liability of the feature for me are the bit parts. There are some solid character actors in major roles, such as Kyle Chandler and Kieran Hines, as well as Jason Clarke and Corey Stoll. But there are distractions when it comes to the bit parts, like Lucas Haas and Ethan Embry. It always pulled me out of the movie to see them flash on screen. It was like, oh, it's the kid from Witness, or oh, it's that kid from those teen movies. And I couldn't really enjoy those moments. Overall, though, I think First Man is a very strong feature, and it doesn't have much in the way of detractions for me. And on that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
I will give this an extremely strong 3.5 stars. It probably deserves 4, but I didn't really buy the chemistry or the tension between Ryan Gosling and Claire Foy, and everything that happens on the ground is just a little boring.
I will disagree. I think what happens on the ground and in space both have equal weight, and it does a great job of showing us the hostility of space and kind of the hostility of man about going into space. One of my favorite moments in this feature was the protest song that was happening in the second to third act transition. And I think this is worth seeing in theaters and owning on DVD. I'll give this a 4.5 out of 5. And that'll bring us to a close. If you have any questions, comments, and the like, please feel free to email. You can reach us at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu. Just make sure you put a review too far in the subject line, and we will be sure to get it. Any parting thoughts as we go, Ashley?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Allen Theaters for bringing these films to our area, and to KSJE and San Juan College for hosting the program.
And from the studios of KSJE, I am Nick Michael. I've been sitting here with
Ashley Londy.
And we'll see you folks next week with more reviews and hopefully some recommendations coming up. Halloween.